defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. Most of you listening to my voice right now can remember exactly where you were when you first heard the tale of Christopher Columbus and his raw courage in face of mutinous sailors who were in mortal terror of sailing over the edge of a flat earth. And who among us is not familiar with the phrase Dark Ages? What we're largely unfamiliar with is the reality that far from being benighted fanatics clinging to scriptural claims that the earth was flat, for the first 15 centuries of the Christian epoch, nearly unanimous scholarly opinion pronounced the earth spherical. Likewise, only in revisionistic history of skeptics like John Stuart and Stephen Colbert are the Dark Ages dark and the Renaissance enlightened. What really happened is a matter of history and evidence. The millennium that encompassed Greek and Roman history is more correctly characterized by irrational superstition than rational supposition. Greco-Roman thought was shackled to the illogical presupposition of an eternal universe that was ministered by moody gods. Little wonder then that almost 1,000 years after Aristotle, Roman aristocrats who were spoon-fed at the table of Greek enlightenment dwelt in drafty domains and never dreamed of a coming Christian epoch in which the invention of chimneys, clocks, and capitalism would revolutionize Western civilization. In place of a rational God who orders the universe according to knowable principles, these Greek sages and their Roman counterparts fixated on the capriciousness of the gods. As such, Socrates would render astronomical observations as a waste of time, and Plato persuaded devotees to leave the starry heavens alone. They obsessed on astrology, but they left astronomy an unexplored domain. They mastered the magic of alchemy and remained blithely ignorant of the majesty inherent in chemistry. And even more shamefully, enlightened Greco-Roman civilization had scant regard for human equality. As a slave master, Plato reasoned that nature creates a slavish people lacking the mental capacity for virtue or culture and fit only to serve. And Aristotle famously remarked, "Some are marked out for subjugation, others for rule." And of course, women fared no better. In Rome, female babies routinely expired in the shadow of Nero's image. Their tragic cries, a testimony to the terrors of sexual inequality. In short, here's my point. The notion that the enlightenment of the Greco-Roman world was separated from the enlightenment in the modern world is little more than useful propaganda. It was Christianity and Christianity alone that shattered the shackled superstitions of the Greco-Roman world. And an unbiased reading of history demonstrates conclusively that the rise of Western civilization is inextricably linked to the DNA of a biblical worldview. Well, today that worldview is mocked by culturally corrosive comedy. And our children are at stake because for every 500 hours they spend in church, a 17-year-old has spent more than 50,000 interacting with the mass media. My friend Ted Baer joins me now, and he is an expert on the mass media. He's founder and publisher of Movie Guide. He's chairman of the Christian Film and Television Commission. And his life's purpose is to be used of God to redeem the values of the media while educating audiences on how to use discernment in selecting their education. He's also the author of an incredible article in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal called Culturally Corrosive Comedy, The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. Hi, Ted.
How are you doing today, Hank? Great to talk to you.
Well, it's great to talk to you as well. And I read your article with great interest. One of the things that I came away with is the need for Christians to learn discernment in selecting their entertainment choices.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And the best way to get discernment is to, one, read the Christian Research Journal, and two, read Movie Guide. Movie Guide has been providing children with discernment for quite a while, and then we have a couple of books on it, the Media-Wise and the Culture-Wise Family. But the interesting thing about both Colbert and Stewart is that they come from a long tradition that the left has used to mock values, faith and values. And I was thinking, as you were making that beautiful presentation, that opening monologue about Germany prior to National Socialism, prior to Adolf Hitler, when they were ridiculing the Jews through all of those cartoons that you can see in the Holocaust Museum, and they were using humor to portray them as being something less than human. And of course, that's the same thing that's going on today in many parts of the world. So, you know, sarcasm means to kill the body, as you know, from Sarx, the death. So what they've done is they've taken humor to a new level of killing faith and values.
One thing that would be helpful, I think, Ted, is to make a distinction between the kindest satire that's used by John Stewart and the kindest satire that Jonathan Swift and others in previous epics used.
Well, not only did Jonathan Swift, but some of the greatest writers of all time, including C.S. Lewis, used satire in Mere Christianity to mock people that couldn't tell the difference between pornography and gluttony. So Christian writers have used satire. But what I think crosses the line here is the nature of the values that are being attacked, but also the fact that they're taking satire into the world of sarcasm. And sarcasm is, as I just said, it means at its heart the death of the body. It means that you're killing something. So it's a verbal attack with intent to kill.
Well, Ted, you say at the beginning of this article that 90% of children are abandoning the faith. I would add to that 90% or more of their time is spent on culturally corrosive media rather than on biblical enlightenment. Talk straight to our audience about what that's going to do to their worldview.
Well, children respond to a lot of peer and media pressure. Children have a propensity to want to rebel against authority. People say, well, they were born this way, and I give the little story that once upon a time, you know that I had four children, and we were driving across the West looking at the great monuments, and I heard one, complain that the other one had hit the other one, and I asked the older one, did your brother hit his younger brother? And he said no. So I knew that they all had a propensity to do something that was sinful. But the purpose of education is, as from the root word in Latin, to lead you out of darkness, is to teach the children, to train them up in the way that they should go. You don't allow them to continue in their natural propensities. Some of them have a propensity to gluttony. Some of them have a propensity to pornography or whatever it is that it happens to be. And I've been teaching on this for many, many years. So what you need is to teach them to go in the right direction. And unfortunately, too much of the mass media is playing upon their propensities and aggravating and exaggerating them. Today, we were looking at the Comedy Central attacks on Jesus, because they're putting out this JC cartoon that is going to come in the fall, which is, but the Comedy Central has been attacking Jesus for a long time, and it's created this image of Jesus not just as a buffoon, but as something that's malignant. So it's a very serious situation. Parents don't have any idea how serious it is. The more intelligent a child is, as I've taught for many, many years, the more likely the child is going to be affected by the media, because their imagination is going to be better. So this is a serious problem, Hank. There's no doubt about it.
Talking to Dr. Ted Baer, he's the founder and publisher of Movie Guide. I want you to elaborate on what you were just saying, Ted. Where are we going to be in the culture if Christians do not become salt and light, and very quickly?
Well, Christianity has brought what used to be known as Christendom, which is values to society, values such as love thy neighbor as yourself, do not steal, do not lie, do not cheat. They're values that are rooted in the Old Testament, but they became refined with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and Jesus' death and resurrection, which set us free from the bondage to sin. So all of that created a world that was a much more beautiful and pleasant place to live than the pagan world that came before it that you were outlining so well. Pagan world, women in Rome were considered as chattel. They were wives were kept at home while the men went out and exercised their sexual lusts in various perverse ways. Children were treated horribly. All of that, and the stew pots outside of the gates of Rome were used to for the poor to have human flesh. There were just a lot of horrors going on. Christianity changed that. It created a world where you could live with your neighbor in peace, where you could farm. There's a great book called Spirits of the Rainforest that talks about an anthropologist who went down into Venezuela just about 40 years ago, and how the people were in bondage to paganism, and when they got to Christ, they started being able to live in peace and harmony and improve their whole economic condition. And the interesting thing is, Hank, that the other anthropologists hated him for bringing Christianity to that group. So, we live in a world where there now is this undermining of faith and values, and what it's going to end up is a destructive, barbaric, cruel society where bestiality and horrors beyond our wildest imagination that we read about in ancient texts are going to be repeated, and we cannot go down that road. It would be a terrible thing. So we need to have revival, reformation, and renewal, and we need to try to reach the people that are there, which is what we're doing in Hollywood. We had two very significant Jewish writers come to Christ last year. We're at the gala. We have a lot of people who come out as being Christians. We are seeing some salt and light out here. We need to get the communications industry to recognize its responsibility for building instead of destroying civilization. And the civilizing process comes from the Church of Jesus Christ, from Christianity itself, not from anything else. Everything else has been corrosive of civilization, and Christianity is what builds civilization with those two great commandments: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, your life will become a life of peace and blessedness rather than a life of corrosiveness and meanness.
Where can you get Movie Guide?
You can go to movieguide.org. We send it out free every Tuesday and Friday, so people know about the latest entertainment. And go to call us at 1-800-899-MOVIE. But movieguide.org is a good place to start. And if they mention Hank Hanegraaff, I'll even if they're coming on to get the free Movie Guide, just write me a little note, movieguide.org. I'll send you a copy of The Culture-Wise Family, so it'll make a difference in your life and help you know how you can take a stand for better entertainment.
Thank you, Ted. God is using you to redeem the values of the media. We appreciate everything that you're doing. You're making a difference for time and for eternity.
You are too, Hank. I love your program. Have a great day.
Thanks, man. Ted Baer. He's a Hollywood insider. If you don't have Movie-Eyed, you need to get it immediately. And if you don't have the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, the article written by Ted Baer is worth the price of the magazine alone. So get a copy of the Christian Research Journal. By the way, the cover story is Avatar, a Postmodern Pagan Myth. You want to read about that and all the articles in the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. So subscribe today. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can also order through our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Do remember that this ministry is supported by listeners just like you. So if you can stand with us prayerfully and financially, it would be deeply appreciated. And right after the break, we'll go right to your calls. You can get your question on air when you dial 888-ASK HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back.
As we see the morality and strength of the greatest civilization in history crumble before us, Hank Hanegraaff has identified the four horsemen that are ushering in the fall. The first is fundamentalism.
In the interest of saving the Bible from liberalism, we are now in danger of marginalizing the very revelation that gave rise to the modern world.
Learn how to identify this horseman as it approaches and how you can be ready to defend the reliability and relevance of the Bible in today's world with Hank's message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. Available now on DVD or CD for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. If you appreciate Hank Hanegraaff's passion for the Word of God, then you need the Legacy Study Bible, which is designed to help you leave your legacy as you journey through the pages of Scripture. Hank's love of Scripture has also led him to produce Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that deals with the aberrations so prevalent in today's churches and equips you to be able to discern truth from error. Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible or, for a limited time, a special numbered leather-bound edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century for your generous gift of $250. To receive a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible or the limited leather edition Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Rainey, and let's go right to your questions. First up, Bill. He's listening in Encinitas, California on KPRZ. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question was on Mark chapter 16, verse 18, the latter part of the verse where it says, if they lay hands on the sick, they will recover.
Mm-hmm.
Is that for the apostles? Or is that for Christians today?
Well, it certainly is true for the apostles, but it certainly is not true now. In other words, it is not true that we as human beings living in a fallen world can guarantee anyone perfect health. And if you look at the history of humanity, you know one thing for certain, the death rate is one per person and we're all going to make it. Therefore, this cannot mean that sick people will get well 100% of the time. We live in a fallen world, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself directly tells us that there's going to be death and mourning and crying and pain until the old order of things is removed and all things become new. In the meantime, we all get sick, and eventually we all die. And that is true not only of you and I, but if you go into biblical times and look at Job or Timothy or Elisha, who was blessed with a double portion anointing, all of them got sick, and eventually all of them died. That is the problem with the old order of things. And Jesus Christ tells us that he will give us peace in the midst of life's storms, and he promises us a perfect panacea, not in this life, but in the world to come.
Yeah, I got a buddy that I've been sharing with, and he's a good brother in the Lord, but I think he's kind of wrapped up in this Word Faith movement. I've been kind of sharing with him. I read your book, Christianity in Crisis, and it was really an awesome book. And do you have any, like, more scriptures that I could give to him on this? Because I think he feels that, you know, God always promises healing and stuff like that. And
well, here's what you want to do. Go to Romans chapter 8.
Okay.
Where Paul tells us that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And then he says, not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And then he says, we hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. And of course, I think you have to point out that the Bible is replete with a long list of godly men who suffered sickness and disease. And if we look at ourselves in the mirror critically, we recognize that we are experiencing the dying process. I can tell you that. I'm going to be 60 in July, and I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt that I cannot hit a golf ball as far as my son, Hank, who's 19. I used to be able to hit it almost as far as he does, but I can't anymore. Why? Because he is just far more physically adept. He has stronger muscles, and he can stretch, and he has flexibility that I don't have. And so there's a big difference that you experience in the aging process. This is why on the PGA Tour, you don't find 50-year-olds competing very well with the likes of Phil Mickelson. Once in a while, Tom Watson comes through, as he almost did in the British Open last year, but it is a very unusual situation where a 50- or 60-year-old can compete with a 20- or 30-year-old in any sport.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your insight, and I appreciate what you're doing for the body of Christ.
Thanks, Bill.
God bless you.
God bless you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Seth. He's listening in Surrey, British Columbia, Canadian listener listening on KARI. Hi, Seth.
Yes. Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. I want to thank you for your persistence and submission to the burden God has given you in dispensing his truth.
Thank you.
And I enjoy your show immensely.
I appreciate it.
Great. I'm responding, actually, to a call a couple of weeks ago, and it was with regards to water baptism and you answered the caller's question quite well, very adept, but something that he was saying kind of left it a little bit up in the air about whether it's absolutely necessary with regards to one's salvation. And
if what's necessary,
that you know what's going on, I just wanted to make it clear, if you could enlighten me explain the difference between spirit baptism versus water baptism.
Yeah. Well, here's how I would explain this. If you are a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But as a believer, you are continually being empowered for service, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So the Spirit empowers us. Whenever I do the show, I don't say, you know what, 2 years ago I prayed that the Lord would empower me for service, and therefore that should be in vogue, I'll go into the studio without praying. No, I realize that I'm a leaky vessel, and therefore I daily pray that the Spirit would empower me so that I can serve Him not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. So the indwelling of the Spirit is a one-time event. Once you are a believer, you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. The infilling is a continuous ongoing process. It is a daily recognition that we need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what we do.
Yes, understood. I'm thinking actually of a quote from John the Baptizer, standing in the Jordan saying, I indeed baptize with water, but there comes one after me who baptizes with Holy Spirit and fire. And also where Peter, just before the first Gentiles believed at the preaching of Peter, commanded them to be baptized in water after they had received the Holy Spirit. And then in the very next chapter, he says, then I remembered the words of the Lord, etc., in the opening chapters of Acts 11, opening verses of Acts 11.
Yeah, well, first, the book of Acts, in its entirety, demonstrates that baptism is a sign of conversion. It's not the means of conversion. And you're right, in Acts 10, you have the description of believers who were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and therefore they were saved prior to being baptized. So baptism is the means by which we are set apart. Baptism is not the means by which we are saved. But John's baptism, or what happened in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, is not qualitatively different from what happens in the New Covenant under Jesus Christ. Because what happens is the Old Covenant apostles, the old covenant prophets, they looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ through types and shadows. And even water baptism itself was a type or a shadow which pointed forward to Jesus Christ.
I've been trying to make that point with others as well, and I'm so glad that you see that.
Yeah, behind the symbol of baptism is the substance of baptism, the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanses us from sin. So as water cleanses the skin from soil and sweat, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses the soul from the stain of sin.
Praise God. Well, thank you very much. You did an excellent job, and I continue listening to your show with eagerness.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your call and very much your encouragement as well. I want to go back to the phone lines and talk to Brandon, listening on Bot Radio in Johnson, Arkansas. I think I just lost him. Are you there? He disappeared. I want to go back to the phone lines then, talk to Jim. He's listening in Texas. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, doing well. I've got one question. It's kind of off the wall. It actually involves my wife when she... You just did the thing on the movies and things along those lines. My wife actually enjoys watching these ghost hunter shows on TV. And I don't feel it's very appropriate to watch, especially when we have children in the house. And I want an answer, in a Christian answer, that can help me get her away from stuff like that. Because she goes on the lines of saying, well, if they're not, you know, they die and they go to heaven, why are they here? What's going on here?
Right. And this
can you
is,
help me with that?
Yeah. And that's why we should be biblically informed. Because if we're not biblically informed, we're going to fall for all kinds of myths and fables that are being perpetuated in the culture on culturally corrosive television. We are going to fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. It is true that we as human beings are body-soul unities, but at death there's an unnatural rending of the body and the soul. And the soul, which is now no longer in the body, is either in the presence of the Lord or is in torment, but cannot once again come back to this time-space continuum. There is absolutely no biblical evidence for ghosts, and all the evidence for ghosts is that they are the stuff of mythology and not biblical worldview. So we have to say that, yes, we do have a spirit, but that spirit does not continue to inhabit this world after the death of the body. It is true that when Jesus Christ comes back, the soul comes back to this world, but not before.
Okay.
So we have to be informed by a biblical worldview. The antidote to the kind of culturally corrosive television that we are being impacted by is to be very familiar with a biblical worldview. And I think we should turn the tables. Instead of a 17-year-old spending 500 hours in church by the time they're 17 and 50,000 hours in the movie theaters and watching television and media, we should turn that table around. And then we're going to be able to impact the culture as opposed to the culture impacting us in a decidedly negative way. We will be salt and light. We'll be a city on a hill, a lamp that doesn't have a bowl over it, but it's giving light to everyone in the house. It takes becoming biblically knowledgeable, and unfortunately, most of us are more familiar with the latest movie star than we are with Jesus Christ, the paragon of virtue, the one who saved us by his grace, and the one who offers us a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Be right back with more of your calls. To call in your question, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcast. All this and more when you go to equip.org. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break.
Some teachers outside the church proclaim we are God.
I'm just curious, where does God come into the whole secret?
Good question.
Yeah, God is all of us.
Other teachers inside churches proclaim that we are God.
If dogs get together, they produce what? If cats get together, they produce what? But if the Godhead gets together, what are they producing?
Well, who is God? Are we God? Everyday people make significant life and death, health and financial decisions based on faulty information about who God is and what He promises. And that is precisely why Hank Handegraff has written Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Thousands have been helped out of the faith movement by the Christian Research Institute, but many more must be rescued. To get your copy of Hank's Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or log on to our secure website at www.equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Handegraff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Handegraff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. We're also on the internet at www.equip.org. Now let's get back to the Bible Answer Man. Here's your host, Hank Handegraff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder that from now to the end of the month, you can get a complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition personalized or the Apocalypse Code personalized for your gift to the ministry of $100 or more to help us meet the fiscal year-end need for the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Also, for $250 or more, the Legacy Study Bible personalized or Christianity Crisis a limited leather edition personalized and numbered. For your gift of $250 or more, limited quantities, of course, of Christianity Crisis in the letter-bound numbered, personalized edition, all of that available as we try to meet our goal so that we can end our fiscal year in the black. So please stand with us. Now we need you more than ever. Also want to remind you that the Student Leadership University 2010, I'm going to be there again this year. For more information, you can call toll-free 888-260-2900. It's in Orlando, Florida, or you can just check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'll be there July 19th through the 22nd for the Hank Henegraaff Week if you want to come that week or send your children that week. But find out more about Student Leadership University. It has had a tremendous impact on my family. I want to go back to the phone lines. Talk to Richard, listening on Butt Radio in Missouri. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Hank.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a question for you.
Yes.
My brother-in-law has had this argument going on with my father-in-law. My father-in-law has been a Christian for quite some time, and my brother-in-law just kind of came to it last year, and I just came to it this year, actually. But anyway, my question is, my brother-in-law says you can lose your salvation, and they're constantly arguing that he can't, and he reads the Jimmy Swaggart version of the Bible.
Well, I wouldn't be reading a Jimmy Swaggart version of the Bible, but in short, this is something that you can debate vigorously. You don't have to divide over, but I think the scripture is fairly clear on this point. Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. That's in Philippians, the first chapter, and I believe the sixth verse. And the Bible is replete with passages in this regard. John 5:24 assures us that he who believes has eternal life. And 1 Corinthians 1:8 promises that Christ will keep you strong to the end. The bottom line being that the one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you or daily conforms you to his image.
Okay. Now I just heard them throwing down Bible verses at each other, and they were arguing vigorously about it, and I said I didn't know, because I just came to Christianity, you know, last year at the end of it, and I didn't know whose debating team you should actually be on, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you have to always look at the text that someone is using and read those texts in their intended context. So you should check this out for yourself. I mean, you need to become so familiar as a young believer with the truth that when a counterfeit looms on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. Now, the debate at hand is not a deal breaker. This is a debate where iron sharpens iron. There are wonderful Christians on both sides of the issue. But I think in listening to this debate, you want to take what's being said and test it in light of Scripture. What about John 10? My sheep, says Jesus, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. You have so many verses in Scripture that in context provides the surety that you were, as Paul says in Ephesians, marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So again, my side of the debate is I think there's ample evidence in Scripture that the Lord's trees are evergreen.
Okay, I want to thank you for clearing that up. I listen to you every day.
Hey, thank you, man.
You take it easy.
If we can help you in any way, let us know.
I sure will. I appreciate it.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Rick in Kansas. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Hank. I listen to your show every day.
Thank you.
And I thank God for you.
Thank you so much.
And what I wanted to ask you was, my son listens to Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, and I know what you think of them and everything, and he's got this idea of the law of attraction, and I don't know if he got it from them or what, but I was going to ask you, what do you think about that, and how can I tell him that about it.
Well, I think you're making a good correlation here, because what Rhonda Byrne, who wrote a book called The Secret, which was heavily promoted by Oprah Winfrey, what she calls the law of attraction, Joel Osteen calls the word of faith. It's a similar idea. The idea is that what happens in your life, you attract to yourself by your thoughts. And therefore, they would say, thoughts rule this universe. If you think good thoughts, you will have good things. If you think bad thoughts, you will have bad things. Now, with specific nature to the law of attraction, you have people like Rhonda Byrne saying that she's a prime example. In order to transform herself from fat to thin, all she had to do was think thin thoughts and not look at fat people. And if she does that, then she's going to be her ideal weight. That, of course, is nonsense when you put it in those terms, but that's exactly what they're teaching. Not only that, but if you take what they say to their logical conclusion, you could have everything. Because as they say, your thoughts are the primary cause of everything, whether good or bad, and therefore your thoughts are in essence the encyclopedia of the universe, or you are the master of the universe and the genie is there to serve you. You can have anything you want. You can have a catalog of the universe is what I was looking for. You can have a catalog with anything that you want. All you have to do is think the thoughts hard enough and it'll come to you. That's the law of attraction. It's nonsense. It's completely unbiblical.
This was like, you know, saying that the law of attraction was more powerful than God.
Well, it's exactly what they tell you. If you listen to Joel Osteen, that is exactly what he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you that the law of attraction or the word of faith is so powerful that God had to strike Zechariah dumb, because if he had not struck Zechariah dumb, Zechariah's thoughts could have canceled out his plans. That's how powerful thoughts are, in his view.
Well, I'll see if I can't get my son to turn around.
I wrote a book about this, and I talk about the law of attraction in the introduction, as well as talking about the word of faith throughout the book. It's called Christianity Crisis 21st Century.
So it's in that, too?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see if I can order that then.
Yeah, hang on. We can get the book out to you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey,
thanks
for calling.
Hank.
You got it. We'll get back to the phone lines. Talk to Carl, listening on WTRU in North Carolina. Hi, Carl.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
I have a question about Reformed theology. I occasionally listen to another Bible teacher on this station who is, in essence, a Calvinist, and he was last week discussing the five points of Calvinism, and his doctrine, the way he presents the doctrine of predestination, and the way he interprets a certain passage in Peter, I can't remember if it was first or second, about God is not willing for any to perish. He says that God is not willing for any of the predestined to perish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that is something that concerned me very much, and I wanted to know what your take on that would be.
Well, that's the Calvinist paradigm, that God has elected some or predestined some to reprobation and some to election and therefore salvation. And this is by God's own predilection for his own purpose and for his own pleasure. Therefore, God creates people who are doomed from the womb to certain destruction, as Calvin put it. That is the Calvinist paradigm. It is completely acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, and Calvinists and non-Calvinists debate this point vigorously. Non-Calvinists say, well, how does that absolve God of being the author of evil? This is something that is debated in a written format in the Christian Research Journal. We've got a great mind on the Calvinist side and a great mind on the non-Calvinist side debating in the Christian Research Journal, and I think it's a very helpful article to get so that you can take the best point of the Calvinist and the best point of the non-Calvinist and see how those points stack up when compared to the truth of Scripture.
I see. Well, do you endorse the Calvinist doctrine of predestination, or do you oppose it?
I believe that Jesus Christ is the predestined one. If you are in Christ, then you, by virtue of that, are an heir according to the promise. You are Abraham's seed. Abraham, according to the Scripture, only had one seed. That seed is Jesus Christ. Paul makes that emphatic in Galatians chapter 3. And if we are in Christ, the elect one, by virtue of that, we are elect. But no, I do not hold to the notion that regeneration precedes faith. And in the Calvinist paradigm, the way that works is God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel. He then rewires the elect. Therefore, the elect not only can but will respond to the gospel. Those that are not elect cannot respond to the gospel any more than a cow can fly, because they simply have not been regenerated or rewired, and therefore they can't respond to the gospel because they don't have ears to respond to the gospel. That is a paradigm that I'm very familiar with. Some of my best friends are Calvinists. Some of my closest family members are Calvinist, and I grew up myself in a Calvinist home, so I'm very familiar with the paradigm. I simply do not agree with the paradigm. But I think in the debate, we need to debate it collegially and keep in mind three primary principles: the sovereignty of God, the justice of God, and genuine human culpability. These are the things that cannot in any way be sacrificed on the altar of the debate.
I see.
And I'm going to have to leave it at that because we're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can get resources that we talk about on the show in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. A lot of you are hanging on as I speak, so I think I'll just stay here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. We'll play my answer to your question on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I'm out of town. So right now, you can pick up the phone and call in your question. I'll stay here for the next hour and answer. The number to dial right this moment, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. So long for now.
To successfully defend the historic faith and be equipped as a light in this too often dark world, you need CRI's award-winning publication, Christian Research Journal, which probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reason for Christian faith and ethics. Call CRI and start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support.